You're with Cape Talk.
This is John Matham on Afternoon Drive.
One of the websites that I visit on a fairly regular basis is The Conversation. A lot of really interesting stuff in there. And they have an online magazine series, Curious Kids, and Curious Kids pose questions. And the question that I read this morning, and I thought, ooh, I want to know the answer to that too. And the question asked by this 11-year-old was, why are there so few impact craters on Earth? Perhaps one of the most famous, certainly the best known in South Africa, is the Vredefort Dome in the Free State, which I would imagine most South Africans know about, perhaps have even visited and wondered at this huge impact from something hitting Earth a very, very long time ago. And given all the collisions that are supposed to have happened and might still happen in the future between astral objects and Earth, why are there not more such craters? And the answer was given, and the answer now is going to be given to us by Roger Lawrence Gibson, who's a professor of structural geology and metamorphic petrology at WITS. Hello, Roger.
Hello, John. Thanks for having me, and thanks for all the listeners listening in.
There are about, you say, 200 known visible craters on the Earth's surface.
Visible in the sense that we can detect them either on the surface or beneath the surface using geophysical methods. So these are the ones that have been confirmed.
Okay, yeah. So how many of those 200 would be obvious to me if I was standing on a hillside looking towards the area where this impact had happened?
How long's a piece of string? I think probably two-thirds or so would be visible.
Okay.
But some of them, I mean, we've got one in South Africa in the Karoo called the Kalkop Crater, which is a very small one. It's just a circle in the ground because it's all been eroded away. So, you know, it took many years to prove that it was actually the site of an impact. And that's the case for a sizable number of them, which is why it takes such a long time to get new ones added to the list.
Okay. Where is the Kalkop Crater? First time I've heard of it.
Okay. It's down in the near Graaff-Reinet on a farm down there. So we have four in South Africa. That's the smallest. And then we have a beautiful one north of Pretoria called the Tshwayeng Crater, the Place of Salt, which is still preserved.
Yes.
And it's a dead ringer for the most famous one in Arizona called Meteor Crater. Then Vredefort, the great granddaddy of them all, really. And then there's one hidden under the Kalahari sands up past Freiburg called the Morikwang Crater. So those are our four. And we're very proud of the fact that we have so many in South Africa, which I think is a tribute to obviously our science as well as the wonderful geology we have.
And the Vredefort, just sketch for us the dimensions of the Vredefort Crater.
Okay, well, I'm sitting in Johannesburg, and I'm about 120 kilometers northeast of the town of Vredefort. You pass it on the way down to Cape Town on the N1, or you pass through it. But in actual fact, if the crater was still around, I would be sitting inside it even now. So we estimate that it was probably originally about 300 kilometers across, which means that most of the way from Johannesburg to Bloemfontein, you would be driving through this crater if it had been a recent feature.
And would the Kalkop Crater be the same? It's just that what has happened to them over the years since they were formed by the astronomical object hitting us has been different.
Yes, I mean, Kalkop is much, much younger than Vredefort, but it's equally been subjected to erosion. And so it's wiped out. You know, anything that stands up on the land surface above sea level will get worn away by wind, by water, by ice, things like that. And so all of these features have suffered some sort of degradation compared with when they were first there, when they were the beautiful craters like we can see on the moon. So Kalkop is probably modern humans were walking the earth when Kalkop occurred. Whereas Vredefort is 2 billion years old, it's half the age back to the beginning, the birth of the Earth.
I suppose the question I'm sort of struggling clumsily towards, Roger, is what's the relative difference in size? I mean, of the objects that hit the Earth that caused the crater, because the size of the crater immediately after impact and the size of the crater now are very different because of these processes that you have been describing.
Yes, they are hugely different, and it's one of the humbling things to try and grasp the magnitude of the energy. So if we looked at something like Kalkorp, we'd probably been looking at something like a mini bus to a small bus-sized object, and the crater would have maybe been several hundred meters across. Whereas for Fredafort, we probably had Table Mountain crashing down on us in the Free State. Probably about a 10-kilometer-wide object would have come through, and that's just solid rock, but it's moving at such tremendous speed, typically over about 11 to 20 kilometers per second. And it's just that incredible kinetic energy that then has to go somewhere. And it goes into this tremendous detonation and heating of everything in the vicinity. So it blows this big hole. It pushes the rock outward, and then it pushes it, allows it to relax upwards. It melts it, it vaporizes it, it plasmarizes it. So these are incredibly catastrophic events, and it's purely speed, it's purely velocity that is the energy source.
The 200 sites that have been identified, that says that 200 astronomical objects of various sizes have hit the Earth since the Earth was formed, but that seems like a very low number. Can I assume that there are at least as many, or perhaps a multiple of the 200 that have yet to be found and identified?
I think we'd probably have to start looking at exponential functions to say how many. And I mean, bear in mind that you go out into the night sky now and look up in a non-urban area, you are seeing meteors coming in regularly every few minutes or seconds, every few hours. All of these things are little pieces of space rock that are entering the atmosphere. And although they shine brightly for a moment and then disappear, that doesn't mean they disappear completely. It just means they've slowed down enough so that they start to drift down as a fine cosmic dust that's raining down onto the Earth. So the Earth is actually growing by several tons to several tens of tons of material per day as this comes down. The bigger ones don't get slowed by the atmosphere, and they cause the catastrophic impacts.
When last was there a catastrophic impact?
It depends. It depends what you want to call catastrophic. I mean, obviously the big one that we know about that was a global extinction event was the Chicxulub crater in the Gulf of Mexico,
which brought the age of the dinosaurs to an end.
That's right. Dinosaurs, 70%+ of all species died out there. Although nowadays we say the non-feathered dinosaurs were the ones that became extinct, because we believe birds were descendants of that catastrophe that managed to survive along with mammals. But you know, we look at both Kalkkop and the Tuayan crater in South Africa, and modern humans would have walked the Earth. These are very recent. There is an example in Egypt, in southern Egypt, that is believed to be only 5,000 years old. It's a 20 to 30 meter wide crater that may well have been witnessed by the ancient Egyptians and possibly even sampled, because the meteorite fragments were still scattered around it. But in 2007, there was a 40 meter wide, what we call a meteor crater, not an impact crater, because it hit into the soil and it blasted the soil out in a place in Peru. And they found the meteorite sitting smoking in the middle of this thing. So these things are happening all the time. There was just a month or two ago, there was a woman in Canada who heard this loud bang, and next thing, she had a meteorite sitting on the pillow next to her, and she was lucky she wasn't brained by this thing coming through her roof. So this is happening all the time.
The chances of something the size of the object that led to the extinction of the non-feathered dinosaurs. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's obviously not an event that has happened terribly often during the formation of Earth and the emergence of man and so on, but there is no guarantee that it might not happen again. Do we have any way of, because I'm not constantly, but I read every now and then that such an object has been spotted and it's going to be observed quite closely because it looks as if it might be coming quite close to Earth. So would we be able to stop it, divert it, blur to smithereens, or if such an object of such size were to head to Earth and hit Earth in the next 5 years, what might be the impact? Sorry, there's a lot in there.
No, there's a lot in there, and it's really the exciting frontier of the science at the moment. So just a short history. In 1994, we witnessed the first active impact of material into Jupiter, what was known as the Comet Shoemaker-Levy 9. And that really got the politicians' attentions about the possible danger of objects coming out of space and hitting Earth and therefore threatening humanity. And you might remember the movies that came out 4 years later, Deep Impact and Armageddon. Mm. The short answer to your question is, yes, there are active programs researching space defense, not the sort of human space defense, but trying to deflect or stop these objects. And unfortunately, it won't be as spectacular as those movies made out, those blockbuster movies. So there's actually a mission that's about to launch that is going to look at trying to knock a little asteroid off its orbit. And then see what the sort of energy requirements are and start to do all the applied mathematics and physics equations to do that. But there's a range of options that are workshopped and that they are being explored. And in fact, the U.S. now has an Office of Space Defense that every year will actually trial. They will present a threat of an object coming in, and then they try to see how the entire community of scientists and military, et cetera, will try and obviate the risks or reduce the risks of that. So things that could happen.
Yeah. Roger, we need to go to news. Well, okay. we needed to go to news 10 seconds ago. But a caller said, why is there no crater around the Hobo meteorite? Could you give us a quick answer to that?
Too small. Anything smaller than a car would not really create a crater. It just slows down too much when it comes to the atmosphere.
Thank you very, very much indeed. I hope if you found that as fascinating as I did, then we have a very happy audience at the moment. Roger Lawrence Gibson, Professor of Structural Geology and Metamorphic Petrology at WITS.